Guys, we got an immediate scrimmage report for y'all, and this is more of the what happened, not the why or how it happened. So we're going to have more contextual notes, comprehensive notes over at Inside Texas. Look for those later in the evening or tomorrow or something like that. So we're just going to tell you what happened, and we don't need to speculate on anything past that. But go over to InsideTexas.com, guys. You can get Inside Texas for $1 for your first week. As a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year to The Athletic. And as always, go buy Paul's books, guys. 2025 Longhorn Football Prospectus, Thanking Texas Football. All the links are in the description. You can get the physical or the digital. You know you want to read it. All right. Rapid fire, Eric. First things first, everyone wants to know injury reports, man. What happened?
Yeah, a couple guys were on the ground. You know, people holding their breaths for Cole Brevard, defensive tackle, hurt early in the scrimmage, and then Nick Brooks a little bit later on. They were down on the carpet for a little bit, but it sounds like they're just being precautious with them. Brevard, I believe, came back. But on Brooks, you know, we're still going to monitor that one. We don't think it's serious, but, you know, I'm sure they'll run some tests. We'll have more information on that. Right now, I don't think there's anything too reason to be too worried. You know, a lot of fans, they go to WebMD, and they don't leave until it tells them they have cancer.
Yep.
There's no point in getting yourself all worked up on that at this point. But, you know, we'll see. We got to follow. It's, you know, the worst part about spring is that injuries are just a byproduct of the game.
Yeah, we'll know more about that shortly. So the exciting part, though, man, Arch Manning, not a perfect day. Don't read too much into Arch nailed it. But he made some nice connections to a certain receiver. So what's going on there?
Yeah, we'll have a more full breakdown of his day today or in the morning, in the more comprehensive breakdown. But he did. Him and Ryan Wingo were making up for lost time. You know, Wingo's missed most of spring. Or not spring, he's missed most of August camp after missing almost all of spring. And so we're anxious to see how those two connect. They had three touchdowns today. You know, that's exactly what you want to hear. Of course, that's coming at the expense of somebody. I know he got one on Kobe Black. But Wingo looked really good. He hasn't played a whole lot in between spring and now, but every time he's full strength, he's putting on a show. So Wingo looked good. Also, Parker Livingston had at least two catches that each went over for 20 yards. On one play, this is encouraging. At one play, it seemed like they audibled at the line of scrimmage. They were both on the same page and made a big connection. So Parker Livingston had a really good day. DeAndre Moore, a bit quiet day, but those were your three starters at wide receiver.
Yeah, I thought that was an interesting note. And you also pointed out that we didn't know if Mosley participated today. So that's kind of interesting in the room. Seeming like right now Livingstone has the upper hand, right?
Yeah, I think, man, based on everything, unless they're going to pull a switcheroo later in camp, which I don't think they will. You know, it never really made sense to me that Livingston wasn't going to play this year or start. Even though I know Mosley was very productive, I just think that they're different levels of athletes and have different upside. Now, Mosley's a very fine player. Can't knock him at all, but man, Livingston just has that extra gear that, you know, Sark loves to take advantage of, but he also does the small things right. He hasn't proven it yet on the big stage. Like Mosley got a lot of playing time last year, but I think Livingston has all those traits as well. And he's having every time he has a big practice block, he does well. He gets better every time. And, he's impressing a lot of people. I think he's in line to have a pretty big year.
I got to keep repping it. Livingston. I keep going with the stone, man.
It should be Stone. I mean, goodness gracious. But no.
If I talk to him, I would tell him, I'm like, come on, man. There's no need for this trickery.
It's like Hayward Howard. It should be Howard Hayward.
It should, man. But it's a wonderful Southern name, so I allow it. Okay, Bax. Good thing with Cedric Baxter. It seems like what, braces off, able to get in the mix a little bit.
Yeah, you know, we heard he didn't have the brace on, but I want even further confirmation on that. I trust the source for sure. I mean, they know what they saw, right? Either he had a brace on or not. But I still want to hear it because, you know, he's had that cumbersome brace on all of practice so far. But that's a good sign that he's ahead of schedule, we think, and he was running hard. He had a goal line touchdown today. He's got that size. So you've got that little thunder lightning dynamic between him and Trey. They're the ones, Trey goes out there first, but it's really a 1A, 1B thing. And then behind him, of course, you got Gibson and Clark that they're doing. They've got their little tandem as well. But yeah, everything we're hearing on Baxter is good. And, you know, I can't see them not playing him a fair amount in Ohio State. I just don't think he would be getting this many touches in practice. I don't, because he's taking reps from Gibson, right? He's taking reps from Clark. I just don't think they'd be devoting this. Obviously, you want to knock the rust off, but I don't see them playing him this much this early in camp if he wasn't going to play a pretty foundational role against Ohio State. But we'll see.
For sure. And a couple more quick notes on offensive skill players. We learned a little bit about Butler and freshman Kalik Lockett.
Yeah, Butler, you know, one thing I noticed, his play speed is exceptional. We talk about the time speed. Ryan Nibble, of course, has that. Parker Livingston has that. But, you know, when you just watch those guys out there, it doesn't seem like anybody moves faster than Butler, and he gets open with ease. The problem is he's having trouble converting the catch. And, of course, you know, you got to be reliable at wide receiver. You know, you've got to look at all the big plays that Matthew Golden made last year. You got to go make plays for the quarterback. And right now I think Butler's having a little bit – he's being a little bit inconsistent with that, and there's some carryover from what we heard about him in the spring. Lockett, we're hearing his name more and more. The last few practice reports on IT, we've discussed him. He's getting some reps with the ones. I think Michael Terry even got some reps with the ones as well. But Kalik Lockett, outside of Daylon McCutcheon, I think Kalik Lockett is the most ahead. And of late – now, McCutcheon caught a touchdown today from KJ Lacy. But of late, we're hearing more about Lockett with the ones. Now, that's probably to help spell Wingo. You know, you don't need to see I guess you need to see three touchdowns from Wingo, but you don't need to see him out there any more than that. And I think Lockett is right now. It sounds like Lockett with Mosley out was the primary beneficiary.
Cool. All right, guys, before we keep going, let's hear a word from our sponsor, Laura Baker.
Hi, I want to tell you about Laura Baker. If you're looking for a new home in the 512 or even at this point, let's face it, 737 area code, there's only one number to call. That's Laura Baker at 512-784-0505. As a member of the elite Andy Allen team with Keller Williams, Laura has helped Longhorns find the home of their dreams in Central Texas. Just ask our resident sex symbol, Ian Boyd, who moved all the way from Michigan to Texas with Laura's help. Laura can help you find what you're looking for in the 512, the 737, or even parts of the 254 and the 210. Just, you know, give her a call at 512-784-0505. Her email is in the description as well as the rest of her contact details. She's a friend. Give her a call.
All right, jumping over to defense, we're going to talk defensive backs. And we've been hearing good things all week about Manny Muhammad, but it seems like another good scrimmage from him.
Yeah, I love everything I'm hearing about Manny. Now, today's practice was a little bit different than what we'd been reporting on because recently we mentioned that he's been making plays in zone coverage, you know, having the ability to get his eyes on the quarterback and kind of see the whole field in front of him. It's a lot harder to make plays on the ball when you're in man. You got your back to the quarterback. But today he's playing tight up against the line of scrimmage and just everybody was having trouble getting separation from him. So, you know, he's continuing. He's having a really, really good camp. Of course, we're anticipating a big year from him and this being his final year at Texas. And I think he's headed for that breakout that most of us foreshadow. I think a lot of us thought he was going to have that breakout eventually in high school. But when we got to see him as a freshman, he played a lot, played well, had some bumps last year. I thought he played better than what commonly is believed. Look at the Ohio State game for reference. But I think he's headed for a national breakout.
Yeah, and these are the type of notes you want to hear that generally do correlate with that occurring. And then we had Taff in a non-contact jersey. Eric's rampant speculation from you, please.
I think my rampant speculation is that he's just too valuable. You know, he's kind of the guy that you can play the younger guys with him. You can mix and match so many different guys out there, and he can kind of coordinate from the back end. I think that's, you know, he is that coach on the field. Stereotype notwithstanding, who cares? It's stereotypes for a reason. I think he's too valuable, but it's also possible, given the way that he plays, that he's playing through something and they're just trying to keep him fresh. So it could be a combination of both. But yeah, he played star, but the first star was exactly what I wanted to hear. My rampant speculation all offseason was it would be Jelani McDonald starting at star this season, at least in that first game against Ohio State. Now, we're still not sure that's going to happen, but Jelani was out there first. And when Taff was at safety, Derek Williams was there. And sometimes Taff would go to nickel and Jelani would go back to safety paired with Derek Williams. So it sounds like there's increasing trust in Derek Williams' health. And, you know, they're still working through Star. Now, this is probably the first time since the day before we committed to Texas that we haven't mentioned Grayson Littleton. I didn't hear anything about him. But I don't take that as a negative. I do think that they want experience in that very first game for obvious reasons. Ohio State's got a very different, very dangerous passing group. Or receiving group, and you know, you're going to want a veteran out there, especially in that environment. And that, you know, the shoe's going to be crazy. So I think it's going to be an experienced player. I think it should be McDonald, and we'll see if it ends up that way. But you know, after hearing Michael Taft's name a lot more in previous practices, we heard McDonald a lot today.
Yeah, Grayson Littleton, man, bring him along, right? Like, you hope by the end of the season he's exactly what you need versus that kind of 11th personnel slot receiver. But
yeah,
Jelani McDonald for now.
Yeah, it's one thing to impress in practice and in the program and in workouts and doing everything right and being accountable and always on time and punctual and all these things. But it's another thing to actually be ready to, for live bullets against Ohio State. And so, you know, you want to get – I want to see Grayson Littleton a lot in September, and I want to see him on special teams on August 30th.
For sure. And then a couple of random notes. You hit one with Lacey, but we'll go through it. Brandon Baker at right tackle had some penalty issues today, channeling Cam Williams in the right tackle position.
Yeah, good news, bad news. There's no drop-off at right tackle. it's Colin Simmons lined up across from him. I think everybody gets a little jumpy when they see that. You know, we've seen that on all this. You know, Lawrence Taylor used to get that benefit all the time. People would jump off sides in anticipation of that quick first step.
You have to.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to try to time it as well as him. You'd rather that happen now than that first scrimmage. And hopefully next scrimmage, next week, we're going to hear about that being, a lot cleaner. He's still a young player, but it happens. And I don't think he's going to have 14 penalties this year like Cam Williams did.
Yeah, highly unlikely. That'd be hard to do. And then quick little quarterback notes. Caldwell, you mentioned Lacey, but what's going on with the depth in the quarterback room?
Yeah, well, I mean, despite all the connections with Wingo and Livingston, I think Arch had a little bit of an up-and-down game day. We're going to go in a greater depth about that. Trey Owens, a little bit up-and-down as well. Caldwell did have a long drive, but again, this is where context matters. Who was he going against? Was it against the third team? Okay, it matters a little less. Second team, that would mean a little bit more because, we're waiting to see if he's going to actually become a quarterback too. And then Lacey had a couple good passes, one of them a touchdown to Daylon McCutcheon, like everything we're hearing about Daylon. But, you know, if Lacey's out there, you know, there's probably walk-ons on the field as well, because it's not really going to go to a full fourth team. But, you know, I think quarterback's in a good spot. obviously, they're not going to win a national championship without Arch. They just need to find a guy that can help them win. You know, if you can beat Arkansas, go, all right, that's good. If you can maybe beat A&M, hey, that would be great too. So we're trying to see what the expectations should be with the backup quarterback. Right now, I feel pretty good. I think they're right on time.
Cool. And then finally, some special teams news. New transfer kicker, Mason Shipley, missed a field goal.
Yeah, he went wide left, but I think he was from distance. It might have been just one of those, hey, get him out there, let's see how. If it's from the distance, I think, like over 55, and it was wide left, okay, I'll take that, right? You know, we'll take that rather than it was short. So I'll get more context on that missed kick. And I think Will Stone missed one, but we don't expect Will to be a field goal kicker this year. We're not going to learn a lot about special teams otherwise. It's a very quick whistle on punt and that sort of thing. Sometimes they don't even do punt or kickoff. But, you know, they work special teams a lot. Not going to hear a lot about that outside of the kicks. And I got asked about special teams the other day and kicker in general. We're not going to know how that guy reacts until that first kick against Ohio State. Now, Ohio State had a pretty decent kicker last year. What happened when they played Michigan? He melted down. Okay, he had three meltdown misses. That's always a threat to happen with kickers. We're going to have to learn about Mason Shipley together.
So, just from your wisdom of following practice for all these years, scrimmage one, what do you expect? Do you expect the defense? Sark said the defense is ahead. What do you expect to kind of hear whenever you're getting your more comprehensive stuff in the coming hours?
Yeah, I'll hear, you know, we want to hear more about the defense. I'm going to care about the situational work. You know, what was the, you know, were they going between the 20s at the time the plays were being made? Were they in the red zone when times were being played? Were they going up tempo, which, you know, that could discombobulate the defense if that's the case. Was it team run play? There's a lot of different things. You want to know how the plays were being made. That's going to tell you sort of where the head was of the defense, right? If it's play action and run, and they're biting on the run, that's not necessarily the greatest thing because those are the only two options. You know, so we want to know the context of it. I want to know how many plays. I want to know if it was ones versus ones, ones versus twos, two, you know, all that. Was it good on good? You know, if Parker Livingston's making a play on the number four corner, okay, that's good. It's not quite as good as going against Manny Muhammad, that sort of thing. So that all that stuff matters. And then, you know, I want to hear what the coaches told them. Were the coaches happy with the effort, the energy? Was it overall clean based on what I've heard? I think I think right now it wasn't the cleanest scrimmage we've ever heard about. But you're going to hear a lot more, you know, we're going to hear that the defense probably did better today, but next Saturday, they have another one next Saturday. And I think the offense usually makes pretty big strides between the first scrimmage and the second one.
And guess where you can get all that information in just the coming hours, this evening or tomorrow. You guys need to join Inside Texas. You'll have all that context you need, who was playing against who. and then you guys can panic properly if need be. Guys, it's only $1 for your first week right now, and as a bonus, your membership includes a complimentary year to The Athletic. As always, you guys need to buy Paul's books. All the links are in the description. Go check it out. Eric, thank you for your time. Viewers, thank you as well, and have a wonderful Saturday. Peace.